We welcome you to the Lutheran Prayer Hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
reading from Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered them, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not scandalized by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the word of the Lord.
Speak, peace, the same.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice, the Lord is at hand. The Lord has brought back the captivity of Jacob. He has forgiven the iniquity of his people and covered all their sin. Rejoice, John, for you are no reed shaken by the wind. You are not carried about by every emotion or whim of culture and peer pressure, but you have stood firm. You have preach the word of God to power. You have called sinners to repentance that they might escape the wrath to be revealed when the Lord is at hand again in glory. You have not been a softy, a waffler, a lukewarm person. You have been a prophet and a disciple. You have been the voice in the wasteland, and there is no other man greater than you, except the one who was himself before you, whose sandals even you are not fit to untie. And now rejoice, for he is at hand. But John does not seem to be rejoicing. He is in prison. He is praying, "Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward me. Will you be angry with me forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive me again that I may rejoice in you? Will you not release me from Herod's prison? Will you not save my head from the chopping block? Haven't you come to rule as King Messiah? Aren't you the one that I anointed in the Jordan with the baptism you commanded me to administer? Aren't you the coming one? Or are we to look for another?" We are not to look for another. Who else would we ask? Simon Peter, the brother of Andrew, who formerly was John's disciple, confessed, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And that is what John also does here. He sends for word from Jesus. As our psalm says, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. He will speak comfort to Jerusalem and to all flesh, which, like grass, feels the effects of sin and is dying. And the comfort is this: the word of the Lord stands forever. The Lord is at hand. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Rejoice! Christ is the one. He is the Lord in human flesh, anointed to be the world's Savior. John was sent before his divine face to prepare the way before him. And blessed is the one who is not offended or scandalized by him." Dear listeners, what dims our joy? What mutes our rejoicing? It is the many scandalizing offenses that come with bearing the name of Christ. We're not all stewards of the mysteries, nor are we prophets like John who bear the name of God in the unique office of proclaiming the Lamb of God. But we are the ones mentioned at the end of today's gospel. We are the least in the kingdom of heaven, who yet are greater than John. We are the least in the church. Our names are never going to make it into the scriptures, and we can expect that we will not be famous saints here on earth. But we are yet greater than John, because we have seen and know what he only foretold. His head was lopped off before the Lamb of God was sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. He was the greatest, the last, and the pinnacle of the saints before Christ's advent. But we live in the time after it, and in fact after his resurrection, after the exodus accomplished at Jerusalem by his cross, after Jesus brought back the captivity of his holy church. And that also means we live in the time between his advents. Before his second coming, we look back to what was won for us by our Lord at his first coming, very much like the saints of Old Testament look back on how God rescued their people in the days of old. He forgave our iniquity. He covered our sins with his blood. He has withdrawn all his wrath and turned from his anger at Calvary, where Christ bore it in our place. And yet still we are praying, restore us again, O God of our salvation. Revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you. This seems like a contradiction. It feels like one. We're at the same time entirely forgiven, redeemed, rescued, delivered, because Christ has accomplished our salvation once and for all. And yet we are weighed down with sins. Our hearts and minds still know darkness, as today's collect says. They're in need of illumination. They long for the Lord's gracious visitation, his advent, to bring us into what he has promised. Faith is tested here in this time between the Lord's advents. It's tested because what we feel and experience is not what the Lord has declared of us. He has baptized us. He's called us his children. He's called us saints, holy people. But he does not make us holy in such a way that we see it and feel it. He only makes us holy in Christ, through Christ, by faith in his promises. We're not holy outside of Christ. And thus, when we look at ourselves, that's what we see. Iniquity, uncovered. People who stand under wrath. The scandal and the offense of Christ is that he is not an enabler, but he is a savior. He does not come to encourage or advocate for the deaf and the blind and the lame and the leprous. He comes to heal them, or really, the text says he comes to save them. That's what the word means in the Bible. He does not apologize for the dead. He raises them. He does not give money to the poor. He preaches the gospel to them. And many times he leaves his own in prison, and they don't get out with a head on their shoulders. Sorry, John. But that's if you're looking out for yourself. That's if in our darkness we turn our hearts even deeper inwardly, looking for illumination there, finding ourself, getting comfortable with who we are. Or if we would think that life consists in our possessions, including our own health and our own neck. Saint John is an example for us, dear saints, but his example isn't what you might think you should look for. His example isn't how, in the face of trouble, he laughed at danger and spoke positive words until they began to happen in his life. No. John knew that he was not God. He could not call the things that are as if they were not, or the things that are not, into being. God alone does this. God's eternal word now made flesh does this. And that is what he does when he declares sinners righteous and holy. When God forgives iniquity and withdraws wrath, even though we still can feel that we deserve it, still struggle against it, and still hate it in ourselves. So John sends for word from Jesus. He longs to hear it again. For only God's word spoken out loud to him, only that can grant him the salvation that Christ wins. Only hearing the Lord's steadfast love can cause faithfulness to spring up to meet it. Here then, dear Christians, is our prayer from Psalm 85. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. And let us not turn back to folly. Instead, rejoice, and by so doing, let your reasonableness be known to all the earth. For the Lord is at hand. He has come. He is coming again soon. And blessed is the one who is not scandalized by him. Joy, even in the midst of repentance, is the proper, fair, reasonable thing to do. The reason is not evidence, sight. The reason is the Lord's word, its hearing, which does not fade or wither, but which stands forever. Hearing of his word, which speaks peace to his people, comfort, pardon for iniquity, all because the Lord is at hand. His blood once shed for us, his body now given to us, his glory soon to come for us, to revive us again. Rejoice, and again rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us, Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we beseech you, give ear to our prayers, and lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. The Lutheran Prayer Hour is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Lutheran Congregations of the Missouri Synod in Southeast North Dakota. This morning's broadcast was conducted by the Reverend Sean Denzer, visitor of the Southeast Circuit. If you have no church of your own, we extend a cordial invitation to hear God's Word with us at one of our Southeast Circuit congregations. You can find service times, sermons, and other information for the Faithful Lutheran Church nearest you at sendlcms.org. That's sendlcms.org. If you have any questions about the Bible, the Lutheran Church, or any comment regarding this broadcast, address them to KBMW 605 Dakota Avenue, Wahpeton, North Dakota 58075. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.